So there are four Malchios that visit this earth, and they appear throughout different imagery in Tanakh, but the most famous are the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, which there are four different wild animals, strange, exotic, bizarre, apocalyptic animals, as well as four metals. So if you just had this reference, you'd think they were political, and Nebuchadnezzar is struggling with empire, and who's going to conquer his empire? He's Babel, somebody's going to take it. Remember, that small pocket of history, you had four major world empires, Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome. You're talking about a couple hundred years. So it's a political, but there's a medrash in the beginning of Bereishis, which already builds or bakes the four Malchios into the Bria. The Aretz says, So, Vavo, V'choshech HaPnei Sahom, Medrash says, So, Zubavel, Bo, Zemadai, Choshech, Zuyavan, HaPnei Sahom, is Rome. V'ruch HaLekim HaRachefes, that's Ruch Mashiach, that's Goel Am Yisrael. So evidently it's part of not just Jewish history, because Chazal read it to the Bris Bein Absara, but it's part of world history. It's not just, because the Bria Sahom is not just about Am Yisrael, but it's about Bria Sahom. So this is essentially the Maharal's broader theory. The Maharal wrote a sefer called Ner Mitzvah. And this sefer's theory is that each of these four empires don't just challenge the Jews that persecute Am Yisrael, but they come to challenge moral or religious ideas in this world. And if left undefeated, then these ideas will infiltrate religious consciousness and lead to moral collapse or religious failure. So these are threats not just to the Jewish people, these are threats to the presence of Hashem in this world at a global level. And of course, we're the defenders and the guardians of humanity, so therefore we have to battle with these. So today, we don't battle with Iceland, we don't battle with Venezuela, we battle with these major empires. So these battles are not just military battles, but they're not just battles to preserve certain mitzvahs that were attacked, but the larger battles, which quite frankly, in the Maharal, remember the Maharal is a mystic, Maharal is a Mekubal, so I don't even know if the Chashmonaim were aware. If you interview the Chashmonaim, are you aware that you're doing a larger battle with the culture of Greece? They may not have known that. They may have been battling against the Seleucids who were trying to ban certain mitzvahs and invade the Beis HaMikdash. But there's a larger battle that takes place. Now, what's that larger battle? There's so much to talk about, but this is really the time of year that Rav Lichtenstein really shone, because he understood Greek culture. He had read Greek culture. And there's a very easy temptation just to hold ancient Greece up as a straw man, and we reject everything of Greece, and during Hanukkah we defeated Greece and we essentially sideline them from history. That's not really true. Much of our world is built on Greek science, Greek math, Greek art, Greek politics, and rudimentary democracy. It also doesn't sound that way from the Pasuk in Noach. We're all the way back to the split between Shem and Yefes. You have to look in Yefes. There is something attractive to Yefes. V'yishkon ba'alei Shem, as long as it's streamed through Shem. And Chazal were aware of the beauty of Greek culture, because the Gemara says in Megillah that a Sefer Torah going to one day as Kashrut and Yavanis, in Zav Yavanis. So this was the first civilization. This was the first time the veil of darkness, the veil of ignorance had been lifted from humanity. People organized their world. Cosmos is the Greek word for universe, which means order. So the world turned from something random and haphazard into a world of order, predictability. So the real question, and that's why in the in those animals back in Sefer Daniel, the animal that represents Greece is a Namer. Why a Namer? Why a leopard? Based on Chazal, so a leopard is having audacity. A lion isn't audacious. A lion just overpowers its prey, absence against its prey. A leopard has to be audacious, has to tackle something larger than it. You ever see a leopard attacking an elephant or attacking something larger? Has to be audacious. And in order to turn society around and to trigger this intellectual revolution, cultural revolution, philosophical revolution, scientific revolution, religious revolution, because the gods were no longer pagan gods. They were somewhat ethereal. They were somewhat more transcendent than past gods. You have to be audacious. Audacity means you have to see something that isn't there. You think about not what you see, but what you don't see. And that's audacity. That's brazenness. So they're compared to audacity because they're starting to develop a culture. They're starting to develop a philosophy. They've alleviated the difficulty of life, so they're free to ponder the larger questions of life, the mystery of man, the existence of man. So the real question becomes, what about ancient Greece was so dangerous to humanity? Well, Ravana talked about it very, very extensively. One of my dreams is to actually write a small sefer on Hanukkah, because there's so little out there, because we don't have a Tanakh, and people don't understand its depth. There's nothing in Tanakh. It's very easy to say we reject Western culture. That's so incorrect. It's so historically inauthentic. It doesn't seem that way for the Pesukim. So there are many, many aspects of Greek culture that were dangerous and incompatible with Yiddishkeit. Probably the one that's most, the core, is that the gods weren't transcendent beings that you should fear. They were stronger than humans. They were larger than humans. They were stronger than us. And the goal was to become like them, to be as strong as them, to be as rich as them, to bribe them. There was an interaction. They were human-like gods. They weren't Eitz Ve'Evan. They weren't Masei De'Adam. They lived on Mount Olympus. They were a little bit distant, but they acted and behaved like human beings. And you read Greek mythology, and they exchanged wives, and they stole from one another. They were corrupt. So this hierarchy in which you submit to Hashem's will is completely absent from Greek religion. When Socrates and Plato describe God, he's even an abstraction. He's an idea. The idea of the good is really God. And those who aren't as sophisticated as Plato and Socrates, God is not an abstraction, but they're gods, the gods of Greek mythology. But you don't have obedience. You don't have batel ritzon chavnei ritzono. That's completely, completely missing from Greek religion, from Greek culture. And, of course, since you don't have obedience to a higher being, you don't have mitzvos. The concept of commandments is completely absent from Greek culture. And essentially, Greek is trying to shift human religious ideas away from obedience, commandments, conduct, piety, towards thought, intelligence, beauty, order. And we accept beauty and intelligence and artistic rendition, but as enhancers for piety. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. And they were posing Reishis Chachma Kenei Chachma, more or less, as Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei. And that was really the battle. And the future of humanity was at stake. And that's why Chazal referred to them as Choshech. It's an irony. They weren't Choshech. They were enlightened people. The Choshech of Pnei Sahom. But that enlightenness, that illumination, moral illumination, without the anchor of piety, conduct, regulating human desire, that's why the Greeks became so decadent. You'd think people so moral and so inspired, so enlightened, would avoid some of the decadence that plagued ancient pagan culture. The answer is because human beings have intelligence and appreciation of beauty, they also have desires and lusts. And without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's regulatory system called Torah Mitzvos, some of these desires and lusts can get the best of us. So Greek quickly fell to the decadence that ruined and sank its same with Rome. So that's really the core. There are many, many secondary issues, charity, morality, the way you view society, anthrocentrism. But the real core is what the role and what the identity of God is. For the Greek gods, gods were these larger-than-life human beings. For Jews, of course, the Havdil, we are totally different from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We submit to his will. We don't try to be, we try to become like him morally. We submit to his will because he's a different being than human beings. So that's the morals. I mean, it's the morals scaffolding. He doesn't discuss all these things, but the scaffolding is the moral. It's four empires that visit the earth. Okay? We'll see. Maybe tomorrow we'll say it.